and now we're going further east from Iraq, and we're going to talk about Iran. My guest is Dr. Farideh Farhi. She's an independent researcher and an adjunct professor of political science at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. Welcome to the program, Farideh.
Good to be with you, Gudai.
You have been working on the nuclear dispute on Iran and the issues of nuclear problem that IAEA and especially U.S. administration have with Iran. And today a report came out that actually UN inspectors have some harsh word on a report that came out of the Intelligence Committee of the Congress. What do you know about this report, and what is your opinion?
Well, as you might recall, about a month ago, the Intelligence Committee of the Congress, House of Representatives, came out with a report that essentially chastised the intelligence community for not knowing anything about Iran, but yet at the same time using that as an argument for or an argument against any kind of engagement with Iran, presumably because we don't know anything about Iran and therefore they cannot be reliable interlocutors. That committee's report had several statements regarding Iran's nuclear program that were patently false, including the statement that Iran is enriching weapons-grade uranium at sites that are under full inspection of the IAEA. And that's obviously something that IAEA reacted to. Another proposition of the committee was that the inspectors were not being allowed to go into Iran, or specific inspectors, and IAEA again responded by saying that that's a prerogative of the government and what the government of Iran has done in relationship to its obligations to the safeguard was nothing unusual. Governments have the right occasionally to say that we do not necessarily want this or that particular inspector to come to the country, but the Iranians have not done anything that is in any way out of the ordinary. In fact, they have allowed many, many inspectors to go in, and they have followed their safeguard obligations. So in a sense, what we see here is some sort of a repetition of what we saw in relationship to the gearing up for the war with Iraq, which is you do see assessments about the Iranian program that are exaggerated. And, of course, IAEA, being the body that has had the close contact, both in relationship to Iraq and now Iran, responding, essentially saying that, hey, we are doing our professional activities and what we are saying is not the kind of exaggeration that we are seeing coming out of Washington.
Regarding the negotiation between European Union and Javier Solana with Iranian chief negotiator Dr. Larijani, what is going on with that negotiation, and do you know why it was canceled today?
Well, the official reasons that was given for the cancellation of the second meeting that was supposed to happen today was essentially that the negotiations have not gone far enough for the principals to meet. So, in effect, there are meetings going on among the lower ranks preparing the ground for the actual meeting between Solana and Larijani, the actual second meeting. What is significant, I think, at this point, or what needs to be noted, is some sort of a rift that I think it's important to take note of between the European position and the American position. Effectively, what we are seeing is a series of pre-negotiations that are going on between Iran and the European Union, despite the fact that Iran has not suspended its enrichment program. And that is something that was considered not acceptable by United States. But obviously the Europeans do see some sort of hope in these pre-negotiations, and the Iranians have hinted apparently at the possibility of some sort of a timed suspension, or a short period suspension, if the negotiations move forward. And from the other side, also yesterday we saw a little bit of movement from the American side, which is Secretary Rice essentially suggesting that the United States might actually also consider the possibility of a timed suspension, a two-month suspension, as good enough for the negotiations to begin.
Could you kind of give us a brief rundown of the proposal that Larijani took with him to Vienna, and I guess he mentioned that some ambiguity of the package, the European package, have been resolved. Do we know what those ambiguities are and how they have been resolved?
Not really yet. I mean, there is, in the past few days, there has been, the Iranian counterproposal, or some sort of a translation of the Iranian counterproposal that has come out, effectively refers mostly to the fact that the Iranians, have found some useful ideas in the European proposal on it, and are seriously thinking about engaging in discussions over that proposal. However, from the beginning, the Iranian position has always been that the European proposal is ambiguous in terms of the time frame of suspension and in terms of when and how the kind of quote-unquote rewards or incentives that will be given to Iran will kick into play. Effectively, what is significant in the proposal that has come out or was released in the past few days is the possibility that Iran may be considering some sort of a suspension, and as well as the fact that, again, the idea that the additional protocol will be voluntarily put into place is, again, put forward. But all of these things are, again, premised on this notion that the Iran dossier will have to move out of the Security Council. So what is significant in the proposal is the possibility of flexibility on the Iranian side on the question of enrichment, and the fact that the Europeans are willing to take a look at that flexibility at this point.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices of the Middle East. I'm Gudarz Akhtedari, and speaking with Farideh Farhi. She's adjunct professor of political science at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. Her publications include States and Urban-Based Revolutions in Iran and Nicaragua, as well as numerous articles and book chapters on comparative analysis of revolutions, contemporary Iranian politics, and foreign policy. You've been to Iran just recently. What is the attitude of the streets and the people about the nuclear issue and the struggle that's going on?
Good. It's very difficult for someone just, I was there for almost 3 months, it's true, and I traveled extensively, but it's, and I do have a lot of anecdotal, things to report. At the same time, it is difficult to say what is the general opinion of Iranians as a whole, because Iranians come of different variety. I would say that in general, However, the regime has been successful in Iran to represent this nuclear program as a national program. The Iranians, when you talk to them, feel a bit righteous about this dual standard that exists at the global level, this whole notion that some countries can pursue a nuclear program without any problems while Iran is facing so much problems. At the same time, they are also apprehensive about the consequences of Iran's confrontation with the world. But as I suggested before, the nuclear program is a program that essentially falls into this general narrative of Iranian nationalist desires. And the regime has been able to play with it in a relatively successful manner.
How did you see the country on your trip, especially the situation of women and considering the shift that has happened in the past year with the election of President Ahmadinejad and move from reformists to hardliners in the government?
In the streets, you cannot notice the shift. In fact, the country seems very similar to what it was in the past. The government does not seem very intent to mess around on cultural issues with population at large. Mr. Ahmadinejad's government is very much into being a popular government. So it has chosen a dual track of trying to satisfy the base by making economic promises, talking about economic disposition, economic justice, you know, traveling a lot throughout the country. So that satisfies one part of the electorate. And another part of the electorate, which is, you can call them, quote-unquote, more modern, or part of electorate that is not very interested in or dislikes government intrusion in their activities, essentially has been left alone, you know, in terms of women's clothes, in terms of activities in the public sphere. You really don't see much of a difference from the Khatami era. In the last days that I was there, there was an attempt to collect satellite dishes. But again, it was done in a, you know, in a very different manner than it used to be done in the past. In the past, when it was done, it was in a very, very intrusive manner. They would go inside people's home. They would take their equipment from inside their home. This time around, the way they dealt with it was that they just went from one balcony to another. They didn't even enter people's home, and they just took the dishes out. And it was a short period of time, and essentially, and it was publicly explained why it was done by the security forces, because they said there is a law that people should not have dishes, and now we have too many dishes that are showing up everywhere, so we have to follow the law. So it was also a hint to the parliament that you have to do something with the law itself. So in terms of the public sphere itself and population in general, first of all, you have to understand that there is a lot of oil money that has poured into the country, so you can actually see prosperity, better cars, better homes, and of course there is no sense of any kind of food deprivation or anything like that. And most of the political analysts in Iran essentially agree that that is the kind of policy that the government is following. They just do not want to mess around with the non-political part of the population. The political part of the population, the opposition, that's a different story because, as you know, there is a sense that the government is slowly, not as radically as it was expected in the beginning, but is slowly closing the political sphere. Newspapers are slowly being closed. There's tremendous amount of pressure on what can be written directives, specific directives, both specifically from the National Security Council about the topics that can be written. So those kind of things are happening, but they are again happening in a very, very subtle ways. Obviously will have consequences in the future.
Just this past week, the former president of Iran, the reformist President Khatami, traveled to U.S. and had several speeches, in some of which he challenged the American policy in the Middle East and in Iraq. And in response to a question, President Bush with Financial Times, he mentioned, and there were obviously there were some objection of allowing him to travel to U.S., which was an invitation of United Nations and also the National Cathedral. What do you think is the reason behind, first of all, allowing him to come? And President Bush, I kind of interrupted myself, he answered to a question to Financial Times that he had reviewed the application or the request himself and asked the State Department to issue the visa for President Khatami. Is there anything behind this trip, and is there any hope that he may really change the whole attitude and create some sort of maybe contacts between the two, especially looking at President Carter announcing that he would be interested in meeting Mr. Khatami, but apparently because of a schedule conflict, that did not happen.
Gudad, relationships between Iran, Iranian authorities and American authorities are so bad that anything is an improvement. So let's begin with that proposition. And obviously, President Khatami is someone that, has a relatively decent reputation and came here not necessarily with an agenda of improving relations, but nevertheless improving governmental relations. But I would assume, given the way he is, with an agenda of trying to reduce tensions in the Middle East in general. And in that, I think at least he was partially successful in the sense that he allowed some people, unfortunately his trip did not get the kind of coverage that could have or should have, but nevertheless it did leave an impact in areas he visited. So one cannot underestimate that that impact. At the same time, the reality is that the forces that are causing the tension between the United States and Iran are radical forces in both societies, and radical political forces in both societies. And both sides have been unwilling to take the necessary steps to engage in a conversation that will reduce tensions. Let me leave it there, because, obviously Mr. Khatami can be helpful and was helpful, but at the same time, there is this reality that he represents forces in Iran that are not in power at this point. And in Washington, from the other side, the forces that are making decisions did not really show much interest in him anyway as well.
As for the coverage of President Khatami's visit, I've been told that tonight there would be an interview at Nightline, ABC's Nightline, at 11:30. There would be an interview with former president of Iran, Mohammad Khatami. Let me go back to the nuclear issue and ask you for your personal opinion. How this, struggle will end up during the next 2 years that this administration is in the White House. What is your personal opinion on how things are moving?
Things are not moving well. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, obviously after two wars initiated by this government that essentially, or supported by this government that many of us did not expect, one cannot under any circumstances assume that the move towards a more aggressive posture will not happen in the United States. However, there is no doubt in my mind that Iran is a very, very difficult military target, and that by itself may ultimately prove something that will force the middlemen in this process, whether we are talking about the Europeans or the Asians or the Russians, to sort of step in and try to figure out a way that will reduce the tensions between the two countries and ultimately resolve the nuclear issue. And the way out of that, I think, is ultimately through getting away this very, what I consider to be this rather artificial barrier or artificial stance, which is, you know, no enrichment, and try to instead focus on this idea of how one can actually control the Iranian nuclear program, whether it is through very, very intrusive inspections, whether it is through joint enrichment activities inside Iran or outside Iran for that matter. The focus needs to move away, okay, from what has been, or I think, an American imposed way of dealing with Iran, which is at different points essentially saying Iran cannot do certain things, and actually move into the arena of, okay, let's try to see how we can control the Iranian nuclear program, bring it under inspection. And I think the Europeans are moving in that direction, finally. And for the first time, I'm actually seeing that some political pundits in the United States that used to be totally opposed to any kind of movement in that direction, talking about ideas, you know, the 5% solution, which is, you know, how, which is essentially means how to make sure Iran's enrichment doesn't go beyond 5%. And remains low enrichment. Because of that, I think I am, you know, somewhat hopeful that something is in the horizon. And connected to that is the reality, and I think most people underestimate that, that the majority of the Iranian leadership in Iran does not want sanctions and does not want war. Not necessarily, you know, because they have suddenly turned out to be very nice human beings, but essentially because they understand the cost that that will have in terms of their own rule and governance in Iran. So one has to sort of take into account the Iranian flexibility within that context as well.